Mike, and the Hot.
And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar, our year in preview series rolling on. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also Mike.
Yeah, this is episode 3 of our Yip, the year in preview there, and the Oscars year in preview to be, you know, more apt. And go back to our first two shows with David Long and make all the money with us because we are going to bet away our savings on those first sets of Oscars gambling lines, as we did an overview of the first 6 categories in those first 2 episodes. That was fun. We also did an Oscar Race Checkpoint episode on the Cannes Film Festival lineup, which I guess, Mike, is kind of like episode 2.5 of the Yipper here.
Especially with how you treat it in film festivals nowadays. You got to get in there.
We have to. Yeah. And Cannes had 7 Oscar nominees from last year, so maybe I'll put that on the playlist as well. But today... So look, today you left me too long with this Google document, and this Google document has ballooned to 20 pages or so because I had to write down every single movie. Well, whatever it is, 15, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it
was 11.
I went studio by studio, or conglomerate by conglomerate, to like write down all of the slates because I'm like trying to figure out what movies are we missing. You know what's flying under our radar right now? What are the sleeper Oscar contenders that might pop up at the fall film festivals for that matter? And yeah, we've already talked about the buzzier titles quite a bit and with David, and I think we'll talk about them and hit them on them a lot, but I wanted to highlight the sleeper contenders today. And yes, it's all wild speculation and conjecture, but it's April and we're a year-round Oscars podcast, people, so let us have this. Let me have my 15-page doc or whatever the hell this is.
There's also Oppenheimer this year. There's no Gary Oldman with the early look as Winston Churchill this year. There's no, that's definitely going to be there.
Good. I'm glad you're right there with me on my folie à deux. I appreciate you for doing that. Yeah. So we're here, and we got to start with WB. I think they have a big slate, and we'll go conglomerate by conglomerate, by company.
We'll start with WB, like you said. They do have a very recognizable slate of blockbusters, and Dune Part 2, which a lot of people, and I'm sure WB is hoping is going to be the big nomination getter at the end of the day there, has already been out. That's going to contend in all sorts of categories. Maybe Godzilla X Kong might have a chance in VFX as well, but there is a big slate coming from WB this year.
Yeah, they have another Zendaya film and Luca's Challengers releasing this weekend, surprisingly with a lot of buzz. We have the prequel to the 6-time Oscar winner, Furiosa, from the Mad Max saga there, going to Cannes and coming out in late May. Is Shana Knight, Shyamalan's The Watchers, maybe not Oscar-y, but who knows. We have part 1 of Kevin Costner's epic Western Horizon, releasing in late June, and then the other part releasing in August, also headed to Cannes there, at least part 1 is. And, you know, look, I mean, you and I have said over our dead bodies, will that be nominated for Oscars? But we've said that many times before.
That's true. And speaking of dead bodies, Beetlejuice comes out September 6th. That was the talk of CinemaCon, of course, and we've already referenced Folie à Deux once. I'm sure that'll be a joke we go back to the well at many times, probably too many times this year. But Joker, Folie à Deux, comes out October 4th from WB.
Otherwise, it appears as if Bong Joon-ho's Mickey 17 is telling the truth about its January 25th of 2025 release date. Weird. Otherwise, it would have showed up at Cannes. And it also appears that Clint Eastwood's Juror Number 2, starring Nicholas Hoult and Toni Collette, is also getting pushed to 2025. So we're not expecting those films. I do want to spotlight a potential sleeper contender that comes out in December, Michael, Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim, an animated anime directed by Kenji Kamiyama, known from lots of anime series, Ghost in the Shell, Blade Runner, Ultraman, etc. War of the Rohirrim features voice actors Brian Cox, Miranda Otto, and it chronicles the untold story behind Helm's Deep hundreds of years before the fateful war, telling the life and blood-soaked times of its founder, Helm Hammerhead, the King of Rohan. So are you getting animated Spider-Man, Spider-Verse vibes here, Michael, or am I living in my dork bubble on this
one? I looked up the Lord of the Rings box offices, and I know this is a totally different, like, off-base one, and I included the Hobbit movies and all that, but, like, they've dropped kind of. I mean, they still made like $200 million with the worst of the Hobbit movies did domestically, but there was still like a decline in them. Not on first blush, like, is a Brian Cox voice Lord of the Rings anime gonna do what Spider-Verse did? I would say no, would be my initial instinct. But I don't know.
12/13, December 13th.
It's a good release date.
It's a good release date there. Animated feature, you know, it's got a lane. The Wild Robot, Inside Out 2.
Maybe, yeah, there's not a, again, it's a weird, it's a, there's a big landscape out there. Who knows?
All right, so maybe that's a sleeper contender, maybe not. Beetlejuice, is that going to be a tech craft monster? The original one, makeup and hairstyling in 1989, so I could see that happening. We heard a lot about the practical effects. Mm-hmm. And no CGI, so like, you know, VFX could be in play there. And then costumes. I mean, I'm guessing the costumes are going to be gorgeous. What do you think?
I would tend to agree. I would hope so. And again, I mean, I think there's going to be some kind of fervor for some kind of familiarity. Like, we're going to want to hook our claws into something. Usually there's some kind of great anticipation that leads up to something that makes its way into the Oscars categories and sustains that momentum. I would be surprised if it's Beetlejuice, but yeah, for the tech category, sure, why not? That and Furiosa, I think, have a chance.
And otherwise, like, is WB going to dominate the techs and the crafts this year with way. Dune and Joker and Beetlejuice and Mad Max? I mean, potentially that would do it in other previous years, but I'm wondering, like, because we're going to look at these slates, and we're going to see Gladiator 2 next, and we're going to see all these big movies coming out, so it's gonna be a thunderdome for those categories. Really, I mean, it's gonna be loaded with big budget movie making.
It's so weird too. Yeah, it's gonna be loaded, and yet there's not like there's no. If I were to tell you right now, like, are you gun to your head, what's Furiosa gonna do nom wise over or under like 2.5? I don't know that that'd be an easy answer, would it?
It's playing a very similar.
It is.
You know, playbook as the previous film.
But boy, that trailer was something.
It was something. Yeah. He had a prosthetic nose on. Yeah. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I also noticed those weren't real bullets that fell over him as he was hanging over that ledge. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It didn't look great.
We'll go to Universal /Focus/Peacock/DreamWorks next. They've already released several profitable films this year, Night Swim, Monkey Man, and maybe Kung Fu Panda 4 is an animated feature contender?
I think so. I want it to be. They also took a financial bath along with Apple on the co-production of Argyle. That wasn't great. And the American Society. I'm not saying the title. I don't think those did well. They got another list of big-name movies. Abigail hits this weekend, the ballerina vampire film. Mm-hmm. The Fall Guy, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. I thought I was seeing it two nights ago. I did not. The Bike Riders, you and I are very...
invested.
Are very hyped to see. We're invested. Yeah, you're right. Hyped is a strong word. Despicable Me 4 is going to make all the money, as well as Twisters. So Universal is going to have a big summer, I think. They have a couple indie films like Touch and DD. I've reviewed DD very well at Sundance, coming out this summer as well.
And they also have something like Speak No Evil, which had a god-awful trailer, but we're going to try to look past that. And we're also suspicious of The Wild Robot, which we've already mentioned once, could be an animated feature contender, but the trailer was almost too perfect, especially for a trailer where nobody spoke and all you had were a list of names of voice actors attached to this that are in this movie. So it was like one of those, this is too good, this is too perfect type things. But both of those films do release in September as well. So there's method to our skepticism madness there.
Yeah, otherwise we might be hypocrites, but I agree with you. We're not hypocrites. We have our reasons,
right,
as we always say. But I think the big four coming from Comcast Universal, we have Conclave.
Yep.
We've heard acting buzz for Ralph Fiennes, Tucci, Rossellini, Lithgow. That's Edward Berger's follow-up to All Quiet on the Western Front. We have Wicked, where Cynthia Erivo's going to ride the famous broomstick all over Oz. And then a week earlier than that, I mean, they're going to dominate the Thanksgiving box office with these two films. Gladiator 2, where Pedro Pascal allegedly is riding a rhinoceros in the CinemaCon footage to fight After Sun guy there. What's his name? Anyway, Focus Features. This is where you didn't write down enough stuff, and this is where I forget names. Anyway, Focus Features has the Christmas Day release of Nosferatu to finish the year from Mr. Eggers. Another loaded cast, Nick Holt, Will Defoe, Pennywise Skarsgård, The Crown's Emma Corrin, and The Idol's Lily Rose Death. So these are big name movies coming out from this conglomerate, Michael.
Paul Mescal was the name you were looking for there with the After Sun and Gladiator 2. Yeah, it is a big slate, and they also have Buckets of Blood ready for its Cannes premiere. Coralie Farjeet's The Substance, and they're also going to be pushing Jordan Peele's next film. That'll be in 2025.
Do you think The Substance is blood? I think so. Side story here, sidebar. I went to AMC's Screen Unseen on Monday night. I thought I was going to see either The Fall Guy or Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse movie. And I didn't notice anything but the runtimes. The runtime usually tells you what you're seeing for AMC's Screen Unseen. And it was like 2 hours and 3 minutes, and they were both within 2 minutes. And they never put it on the button.
Right.
So that, you know, it's usually so that you can guess. They kind of lie about the runtime. Anyway. All right, I just had dinner. It wasn't a huge dinner, but I had dinner. And I get there and I sit down. It's a sold-out theater, Mike. I mean, this is working for AMC's Screen Unseen. They're getting people butts in the seats here, $5 a ticket. I used my AMC A-list like a dope. But I sit down, and there's this lady eating this giant, smelly salad next to me. The smelliest. The schmelliest. I sit down and I'm just like,
What do you mean by, like, what did it, what smelled? What was it? Like tuna?
I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Ugh. So here I was, not hungry. I don't need to snack, but I'm like, get me the hell away from this, this smelly salad. And I went out into the lobby and I was like, all right, I guess, you know, Tony Soprano, I could eat. And I get in line, sold out theater. I'm stuck in this long ass line. I get a popcorn and soda. So I'm thinking it's The Fall Guy or it's Back to Black. I want to see both of these movies. I sit down and then the Crunchyroll anime plays, the logo plays. It's Spy Family Code White. Now, look, I like me some anime. I like me some Crunchyroll anime. Shizume, I'm a fan. But I'm 10 minutes into this movie and it's like some, you know, TV show turned into a movie. I don't know any of these characters. They're speaking too fast. I'm not a fan. I can't do it.
Did you leave? You left.
I leave. Eating a full popcorn on my way home, listening to Bigfoot podcasts for the rest of the evening. And it's what a bust. What a bust of a night.
But why did you think, just the runtime? Because there's no way AMC needs to do a secret screening of Fall Guy. People are going to buy tickets to that movie.
They probably already are. You're right. This is a very intelligent question that I, in a theater full of movie-loving happy hippies, should have thought about more seriously. And I may have even stayed if Schmelly Salad Lady wasn't sitting there.
That pushed you over the top,
She had Elaine's big salad, and it was stanky. And I couldn't deal with it. Anyway, what the hell are we talking about? We're talking about Comcast Slate.
Got a salad on my left. Got people I can't understand in front of me.
I don't have a sleeper contender for this slate. Conclave, The Wild Robot, Gladiator 2, Wicked, Nosferatu. Those seem to be the contenders. Do you have any sleeper contenders for this slate?
Not sleeper. I just hope Conclave is a contender in some way because I am excited to see it. It reads more thrillery, like Da Vinci Code-y to me, which kind of worries me a bit. So I'm hoping against hope that has legs to stand on come November.
I don't want Da Vinci Code sequels.
Me.
All right. We'll move on to the House of Mouse, Disney, Hulu, Pixar, Marvel, Searchlight, 20th Century. I'm going to rip these off quickly. Suncoast, The First Omen, good movies. The Greatest Hits, I like that too, on Hulu. They have been already released from Disney earlier this year. On the upcoming schedule, they got Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes in May. They got Young Woman and the Sea, Michael.
The Daisy Ridley and Dyad.
They have Inside Out 2 in June, as well as Kinds of Kindness from Searchlight after its Cannes premiere in that month as well. Deadpool and Wolverine in July.
So you remember a couple years ago, when Deadpool 1 came out and it was like a weak Best Picture field and there was a chance that Deadpool could have been one of the 10?
Yeah.
Are we reliving? There's at least a path to that happening this year, right?
I'm saying it's an open field.
Yeah.
It's a possibility, but I you know what? I like everybody involved. That director doesn't strike me as like a big Oscar-y director.
Well, Deadpool 1 wasn't an Oscar movie by any means either, you know?
Yeah, those guys had a little more edge to them. I don't know.
Fair.
Anyway.
Fair. Well, what if you had to place your bet between who's picking up the Wolverine mantle, is it going to be Harry Potter or Superman?
I want it to be Superman.
I want him to have the beard. He's too big to be Wolverine, isn't he? If that guy had adamantium, Henry Cavill with adamantium just rips humans in half.
Farting corpse Harry Potter's too small, though. Come on. I love him. You love him. He's too small. Like, again, Tale of the Tapes, we can't resist.
It would be awesome to see Superman. Henry Cavill as. Yeah, it would be awesome. But God, I mean, why would anyone invade Earth? Knowing that guy's there. Yeah.
Speaking of invasions, Alien Romulus coming out in August. We may have a little something for that, I think. Mm-hmm. A Real Pain, we talked about it. Yep. Jesse Eisenberg, Kieran Culkin. October 18th, a very Oscar release from the Searchlight film there that I loved at Sundance. Moana 2 will be, that Thanksgiving corridor is loaded with Gladiator 2, with Wicked, and Moana 2. Who's going to make that money in Thanksgiving time? I don't know. Night Bitch, which was originally slated to be an Amy Adams Hulu original, is actually going to be exclusively in theaters. So that's exciting. That's a vote of confidence for Mariel Heller. Barry Jenkins is doing Mufasa the Lion King, Michael.
Why? Why is this happening? Why? Who's asking for this?
It's a $2 billion property. So they're going to make a sequel, prequel, whatever. It is a prequel.
That movie was so unsettling. It was fun to watch because I watched it with my niece and nephew.
Okay.
That's it.
You also avoided like a heat wave while on vacation,
right.
Didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. It was great to be in the AC.
It saved your lives. The original remake. Maybe that's the original remake. $2 million.
Everybody was in the same situation I was.
Right. Undated. There's some intriguing titles, and I want to point out two of them. Odessa and the Supremes, Michael. Odessa from Searchlight here.
So we have a farm girl in search to recover a cherished family heirloom. She travels to a strange and dangerous city where she meets her one true love. To save his soul, she must put the power of destiny to the ultimate test.
So director Jeremy Jasper of Patty Cakes. I like Patty Cakes. That was a Netflix original. Sadie Sink of Stranger Things, Regina Hall. Murray Bartlett of White Lotus, Kelvin Harrison Jr. of Loose Chevalier, Kelly MacDonald, No Country, Boardwalk Empire. I mean, it's a good cast.
It's a good cast, yeah.
It's a little Wizard of Ozzy. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. A little fantasy twinge to that, so we'll see.
Musical.
All right.
We got this,
The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat. I thought this would be a biopic about the Supremes, but it's not. It's about a group of women who call themselves the Supremes.
What? This is not about the Supremes eating at Earl's All You Can Eat?
I don't know. It's the synopsis is it follows a trio of best friends known as the Supremes, who for decades has weathered life's storms together through marriage and children, happiness and blues. That to me doesn't suggest that it's actually the Diana Ross group.
What? This is not about the Diana Ross group?
I don't know. This is a common theme. There are plenty of misleading titles this year that we're going to come across in this episode.
I thought this was going to be like a happier version of One Night in Miami, but just like the Supremes at an all-you-can-eat buffet played by these great actresses, Anjanou Ellis-Taylor, Uzo Aduba, and Sanaa Lathan.
I mean, it's possible. It could be. Maybe it is. And they're just complaining about Diana Ross behind her back?
I don't know.
We'll see.
This was worrying me because I thought it was just going to be a Hulu original. Mm-hmm. But then again, we saw the Amy Adams Werewolf Mommy movie.
Having done this for the years that we have, there's a very fine line between something that's got the legs to be like a surprise Oscars hit and something that should have only gone to Hulu. based on premise and information alone.
I like Hulu originals, though. I like Prey.
They're good, but they're not Oscar fair, is my point.
Right. Okay, well, we can move on to Sony, and they got Sony's Pictures Classics, and they got Columbia and TriStar under their wing. And, Michael, they're having a rough year so far. They have The Book of Clarence, which was a flop, Madam Web, which was a hilarious flop, and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which didn't have any legs whatsoever, even though it got off to a decent start. They have Tarot and the Garfield movie coming out in May. They have Bad Boys Ride or Die coming out in June.
Just a slate of movies nobody's asking for.
It Ends With Us. That was slated for June, but no.
It got moved to August just a couple days ago. It's going to be out August 9th now.
We Want to Punt Fly Me to the Moon to the Moon. Yep. That's coming out late. If I can read my words here, July. And that looks terrible. Apple co-production. Harold and the Purple Crayon is an animated adaptation of a children's book coming out in August.
It's not animated, though. I mean, it's like half animated. It's weird.
Half animated. Yeah. Okay. Kraven the Hunter.
Oh, boy.
Another winner from Sony Marvel, I'm hoping? No. Kraven the Hunter in the end of August. Venom the Last Dance, which hopefully is the last death knell, nail in the coffin of the Sony Marvel series.
How dare you? This Venom series end of is October. Great.
The Venom series is watchable, at least, the end of October, the 25th. But we have two titles that I think could make some money. We have the Forrest Gump reunion between Robin Wright and Tom Hanks that we'll talk about in a second, coming late November from Robert Zemeckis, and Karate Kid, which is going to be like some kind of combination between like the continuated movie series, continuated is a word now, and the, what's the Netflix series?
Cobra Kai.
What's that?
They're going to tie that
Cobra
in.
Kai.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we got undated SNL 1975 from Jason Reitman. Kneecap, which is a good movie I saw at Sundance with Michael Fassbender about that Irish hip-hop group. And we have Clara and the Sun, which I'm guessing is not a this year movie from Taika Waititi and Jenna Ortega and Amy Adams, but next year movie? Who knows?
Taika's been doing that lately. He's been having these projects and then just pushing them off and pushing them off. Would you be more shocked to hear that Madam Web grossed only $100 million, or they grossed all of $100 million?
That's a good question.
I was stunned to see it made that much.
Yeah. It got off to a halfway decent start, and then there was a curiosity factor at how bad it was. I think, what was that other movie that they just did with Jared Leto? Morbius?
Well, that's, yeah, and I'm you're right. The Sony Marvel stuff, that's why I'm half convinced myself that the reason Austin Taylor Johnson hasn't been officially offered the James Bond role as he's been rumored to be attached to is because they want to see if Kraven bombs or not first.
Oh, boy.
But I have no, that's, no, that's just total speculation on my part.
So many of these guys are doing like these spy movies to audition, essentially audition. We saw Sam Heughan do it. We saw, Superman there do it a couple times.
Cavill.
And Aaron Taylor Johnson has a couple spy-ish movies. And there's you could go down the list of potential white Anglo-Saxon men who have been doing this.
Well, speaking of white Anglo-Saxon men, let's talk about Here, Mike. An original film about multiple families and a special place they inhabit. The story travels through generations, capturing the human experience in its purest form. Didn't we just do this with Origin?
I hate this premise. I hate these vague premissi that just go into the fact that it's like breathing air
right.
on the planet Earth.
Right.
What it means it's about, to be a human
it's about
and the
being.
Human condition.
Yeah, I can't stand it either.
It's awful. But I do like this cast. Hanks and Robin Wright. Kelly Riley of Yellowstone, Michelle Dockery of Downton Abbey, Nikki Amuka Bird, who was getting Oscar buzz in a lot of the lists that we were covering from Clayton Davis, etc. And yeah, I would love to see that. I loved her and Luther, and she always shows up doing a nice job. So I don't know, man. Late November release date, 11/22 from Sony here. They must think something good.
Zemeckis and Hanks, I mean, I guess you would always kind of have hope for them teaming up. But it's not like Zemeckis has been on fire. I mean, remember the Welcome to Marwin thing he did with Steve Carell? That was a late calendar release. That was supposed to be an Oscar player.
Remember how many pundits picked that for multiple Oscars?
Yeah.
What a bunch of dorks. They are one pathetic bunch of losers. Never us. Don't go back and listen to those episodes, though. All right, we'll move on to Paramount. Already released from Paramount. Mean Girls, The Tiger's Apprentice, which was a good animation on Paramount Plus, by the way. Mm-hmm. I like that. Bob Marley, One Love. I almost keep clicking on it. It's available on MGM Plus, which somehow I have, and I just haven't clicked on it yet. But on the upcoming schedule, we have the Ryan Reynolds kids film, If, Imaginary Friends, in May. A Quiet Place, Day One, which I think we're both excited for.
Hopeful
at the end of June.
Yeah.
Transformers 1, which is going to be the prequel to Megatron Optimus Prime.
Except they've already started casting for another Transformers movie, I thought I read. So is this one not going to have a franchise attached to it?
Well, this is the prequel. This is like on the Transformers planet, and you're going to have Optimus Prime and Megatron.
Just kill the series.
Being childhood buddies. Childhood buddies.
Great. Great. So it's Transformers The Wire. That's nice.
It's not going to be great. Ben-Hur adaptation. Smile 2, which is coming out late October. I think
hope
we're stoked
landing
for that. We liked Smile 1. They can't really fuck it up that bad, can they, though? Smile 2? Anyway.
The ending of Smile 1 bothers me.
As I push over my lamp.
Good job.
We have Gladiator 2, like we said, co-production between them and Universal. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 at the end of December. And the movie Better Man, which was the Robbie Williams Australian musical, not the Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, so I mean, this is what I'm talking about in these titles that are wildly misleading. Like, if you're having a biopic called Better Man, Robbie Williams is not the first name you think that's going to be, but you think that's the Eddie Vedder biopic.
Well, maybe Australians think of Robbie Williams, but anyway, that's coming out in 2025, it seems, and January 2025. Yeah. So I don't think Paramount's having a terrible year, and they have some big IP films coming out, but they are in flux, and I don't feel like they want to, you know, spend the money on the Oscar campaigns year in, year out. They kind of pick and choose the years where they go for it.
Well, especially if they're about to be sold. They probably don't want to spend the money, period, right now.
Right.
I think the smartest thing Paramount did this year was greenlight Tina Fey to get Renee Rapp in Mean Girls, because I was listening to, I don't know where I came across it, but Sydney Sweeney was talking to someone, and she was talking about her experience on Madame Web and how it was her first studio movie. And she said that while she was, you know, Madame Web was what it was, her being casted in that while she was working on Madame Web, she was putting together the package for both of Immaculate and Anyone But You. And because she was in a Sony project already, she went to Sony first with the package for Anyone But You, and Sony gave her what she needed and agreed to do it. And I think that's kind of what Paramount's got the idea of, too. Like, I think Renee Rapp is going to be a super-duper star. So getting her in, and if you can be the studio that gets to her early in the way that Sony kind of got to Sydney Sweeney early before the giant blow-up, I think it's a smart idea.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's common practice, at least throughout Hollywood history. I'm listening to a new book, Oscar Wars, and it seems like.
Oh, I can't tell you the number of times I have had that in my Amazon cart.
It's fun. I just did the All About Eve section chapter. I'm having a blast
to read
with
that.
It. I can't believe I haven't listened to it till now, but I lost my Audible subscription for a while, and anyway. Yeah. Neon. We'll move on to Neon. We'll jump around the studios. This is kind of one of the boutiques that we love. They've already released Self-Reliance on Hulu, which was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I liked Immaculate in theaters. It wasn't great, but the Sydney Sweeney, you know, Nun movie was pretty good. Both Nun movies were pretty good this year. La Camera I saw it at New York Film Festival with all the Italians there. I enjoyed that.
It means the Camera.
It does, I think, but
El Nino.
Sorry, I don't know what Chimera means. Anyway, the upcoming schedule for Neon, at least on the schedule, they have Stress Positions at the end of April here, We have Long Legs, which is a serial killer, Malika Monroe, Nicolas Cage movie. I think we're hyped in early July. Cuckoo, Hunter Schafer horror film, and Mr. Stevens there at the beginning of August. That was bumped. At Cannes, we have Sean Baker's Anora starring Mikey Madison, and I think Emmanuel will find its way to Venice if Audrey Dewan has any say. Noémie Merlant and Noémie Watts. I'm going to butcher those names all season because they sound too much alike and they're too French. Emmanuel is supposedly coming out this year. Otherwise, like, I'm looking at this slate, like Mother's Instinct, that was supposed to be a Jessica Chastain, Anne Hathaway movie, and the trailer didn't really sound Oscar-y. I did not like Handling the Undead at Sundance. I'm sorry to say, run out of Reinsvet and company there. And then The End, the Joshua Oppenheimer film that Clayton Davis was shouting out at the end of our podcast with Tilda Swinton, etc., that seemingly is getting bumped again to January of 2025. January of 2025 is not going to be a dumptuary, Michael. Or is it?
The Goldfinch was another decision away from playing January as well, I think, before it landed in September. I wonder if January is actually when these movies are going to end up, or if that's kind of just a placeholder within the walls of the studio right now as they figure out what's going on in 2024.
I don't know. I really don't know. But we did want to spotlight a film that you have projected for Oscars before, Michael, The Actor.
Yeah, sure. Why not? It originally had Ryan Gosling attached. He stayed on as a producer. It's going to be directed by Duke Johnson. Stars Andre Holland, Gemma Chan, Toby Jones, Tracy Ullman, Simon McBurney. When New York actor Paul Cole is beaten and left for dead in 1950s Ohio, he loses his memory and finds himself stranded in a mysterious small town where he struggles to get back home and reclaim what he's lost. This is another one we've previewed in our 100% way too early accurate predictions for like 2 or 3 years in a row now.
You had some inclination that this was going to get picked at one point. Why do you remember? Do you remember why you kind of penned it that way? I can't remember why you did.
I can't. I do not have. I can have no idea. I think I picked Andre Holland, but okay. I cannot for the life of me remember why. But I mean, I think the gestating period has helped this movie because Gosling had a huge 2023. Gemma Chan just had a huge 2023. So the names attached to this have kind of broken out a little bit more, sure, even though Gosling's just a producer on it.
Intriguing premise. You know, guy with amnesia. 1950s Ohio.
I cannot for the life of me remember why I picked this.
Director of Anomalisa. So he's been nominated before, at least his film has. All right, we'll see. Neon always acquires film festival titles, etc., so we'll see. We'll move on to Apple, and I don't have a big segment here on Apple, but yeah, they've already released Argylle. I just watched Masters of the Air and the documentary with Tom Hanks narrating it, The Bloody 100th. Very good. I just watched Girls State, documentary released in early April. That was very good as well. I'm really proud of them for picking up Fancy Dance. That was a Sundance title with Lily Gladstone that I really liked. Mm-hmm. They have another documentary, Bread and Roses. Yeah, they have Fly Me to the Moon. Okay, fine. Wolves is going to be Clooney, Brad Pitt. They're both fixers. Otherwise, and that's coming out in the fall, so maybe that should have been our sleeper contender.
Yeah, that could be something.
Like, Undated, I'm thinking Blitz is going to be their big play. I mean, I'd love to see Lily Gladstone get more performance buzz for Fancy Dance after Killers of the Flower Moon, but that's probably a subtle performance. I've seen it already. It's probably not getting more than Indie Spirits or Gotham's, so I'd be hard-pressed to say that anything but Blitz. Maybe Wolves is going to be Apple's player this year.
You don't think Fly Me to the Moon has a chance?
Over our dead bodies. We've already said this.
There's a scene in one of the early Family Guy episodes where Peter and Lois open a restaurant and someone calls asking if they take Discover card. And the joke of the scene is that Peter keeps talking about all the things he would accept as currency for his place before he lowered his standards enough to accept Discover. And he eventually is like, no, you are going to stay on this phone and listen to me as I describe all the things I would rather take than your card. And that's pretty much where Fly Me to the Moon is with me. Like, I'm just going to keep coming up with ways to insult it, and I have no interest. It could be the greatest movie. It could be Citizen Kane, too. That's fine. I'm going to keep insulting it, and I'm going to make the listener listen to it. I'm sorry in advance.
It may just be a bad trailer. You're right. But we're not going to budge off our grudge here.
No.
I agree. Wolves with Clooney and Pitt, maybe. But Brad Pitt's name is... again being dragged through the mud in a serious way, TMZ stories of late, Michael?
I wonder if the dude is just Teflon. Because for every like TMZ story that like gets uber serious and stuff, in the same week you had Lil Dicky on like the one of the biggest podcasts going, New Heights with the Kelce brothers, talking about how Brad Pitt did a guest shot answering a cold email from Lil Dicky to be in Dave, the show, and how he spent the days with him and he was just like the coolest, most down to earth guy ever. So I don't know what to make of it. He's charmed us, that's for sure, throughout his career.
It does look like Blitz is the big player for Apple, especially based on Clayton Davis's predictions there. They got deep pockets. They're making prestige plays. I don't think, you know, they're going to shy away from an awards campaign if they have the goods this year. We'll see.
Yeah, Apple could be the studio to watch this year.
Amazon MGM will be next for us here. They've already released Role Play, The Underdogs with Snoop Dogg, Double G there. The Beekeeper made big money for MGM. That was a surprise hit. Upgraded was okay. This Is Me Now, the Jennifer Lopez, you know, direct-to-Amazon movie was not that good, sorry. Ricky Stenicki, nope. Roadhouse was okay. Frida was okay. Musica, I like Musica on Amazon Prime there. On the upcoming schedule, I guess they're... Didn't I mention Challengers already?
You did.
Who the hell has Challengers then? Maybe it's a co-production?
Could be a co-production.
MGM, Universal. The Idea of You, that played very well at South by Southwest with Anne Hathaway there. The Fire Inside, we'll talk about that in a second, coming out in August. Blink Twice with Zoe Kravitz, also a co-production with WB. Coming out in August. Undated, I've been talking about the Nickel Boys quite a bit on a few episodes with Ingenue Ellis-Taylor there. Long Day's Journey and Tonight, Jessica Lange, Ed Harris, we've talked about that quite a bit.
Yep.
And we're going to dive into Holland, Michigan here in a second as well.
So The Fire Inside has an August release date, like you said. It was the previously titled Flint Strong, the story of Clarissa T-Rex Shields, a boxer from Flint, Michigan, who trained to become the first woman in her country's history to win an Olympic gold medal in the sport.
Yeah. I was excited for this after, you know, the Oscar campaign for Brian Tyree Henry. The announcement of this one was right after that. But August, that doesn't give me a lot of hope.
This is not at all what I thought the movie for Flint, Michigan was going to be about either.
Yeah.
Like, not at all what I expected. It sounds like a cool story, but for the only headline of the last 18 months being that Brian Tyree Henry might have Oscar legs and that this movie is going to be about Flint, I would have thought it was about the water crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean,
it's been a while since we got a good boxing film, good pugilism story, right?
But this is another one. So if you're not going to call it Flint Strong, like... It's based off a documentary named T-Rex. The main character's nickname is T-Rex. Why isn't this movie called T-Rex?
Yeah, why is it just titled after the Diane Warren song for Flamin' Hot?
It was just Oscar nominated.
Becky G. Good song, by the way, when I finally registered that I've heard it.
What is going on with some of these titles this year? Anyway... Talk about Holland, Michigan next.
Directed by Mimi Cave, starring Nicole Kidman, Matthew McFadden of Succession, winning all the TV awards for Succession. We have Rachel Sennett of Bottoms and Gael Garcia Bernal from everything I like, by the way. But what was that Amazon show about the Mozart in the jungle? Anyway, a thriller centered on a woman who suspects her husband is cheating and enters into an affair of her own before learning her husband's true dark secret life. Holland, Michigan, Michael.
Yeah, and that's one of those walking the tightropes. Like, okay, that has real intrigue as a premise, but it could also be a Lifetime movie. I don't know. Like, Nicole Kidman's in it, but also if a woman's thinking her husband's cheating and then cheating... because she thinks her husband is cheating and then her husband's not cheating, but her husband's got an even darker secret than cheating. That's, you know, it seems a little...
What if it's also about cannibalism? Mimi Cave just did a great movie about cannibalism. I don't see a lot of movies about cannibals this year.
It's fine.
Right? Other than maybe Borderlands, something will show
Rachel
up.
Sennett just bites Nicole Kidman's arm. Well, in all seriousness, like, I would give my life for Rachel Sennett to have some scenes and have her acting chops be tested in scenes with Nicole Kidman, so I'm hoping that happens.
All right, we'll move on to A24, already released this year from them. We have Jerry Lee Lewis, Trouble in Mind, the documentary on Amazon Prime there. We have Problemista, which I've almost gone to see a few times. I'll probably catch it with Tilda Swinton pretty soon. Love Lies Bleeding, we both like that film. I've watched the first Steve Martin documentary, Steve, the two-parter there on Apple TV Plus. I'm a big fan of Civil War, and I figured it was going to be polarizing, and the discourse has been such thus far, but yeah, I'm a big fan of Civil War. And I even walked out of the movie theater with my popcorn and soda, and some guy just came up to me and was like, dude, Civil War, wow, have you seen it?
Yeah. A random guy actually did that?
Random guy just came up to me, because again, wow. Only single guys go and see this movie.
Right.
But anyway, okay, on the upcoming A24 schedule, we have I Saw the TV Glow coming in early May. I've seen Janet Planet at the New York Film Festival. A strong performance from Zoe, I forget her name. I could see her getting some Best Young Actor Performance awards there, Janet Planet. Maxine in early July. We've discussed that at length. Sing Sing, we've discussed at length. That seems to be the big name title for A24 this year, by all accounts. Coleman Domingo, Paul Racy. Undated, we have a couple documentaries. Architectron, Look Into My Eyes on Becoming a Guinea Fowl is going to be an Uncertain Regard dramedy set in Africa. And A Different Man, it was the Sundance hit that also played at New Director's New Film, starring Sebastian Stan there. Otherwise, great trailer was released for the Julia Louis-Dreyfus film Tuesday with the parrot that was somehow awesome and made us both cry like a bunch
losing
of...
her daughter. Yeah, terrible.
Oh, my goodness.
Heart-wrenching trailer.
Otherwise, Y2K, I believe, played at South by the Kyle Mooney comedy.
Got a lot of rave reviews. A lot of people loved it.
Mother Mary is David Lowery's film we're going to talk about in a second. We Live in Time is also a romance with Florence Pugh, Andrew Garfield, directed by Brooklyn's John Crowley.
That would be a Best Picture contender if this was 1997, I feel like.
But probably headed for 2025 or kind of A24 big name titles from bigger name directors. Ari Aster's Eddington is filming this year. I don't think that's coming out this year. We have the Eggers brothers doing The Front Room. I don't think that's coming out this year either. Spike Lee's High and Low. I don't think that's even filming yet. Materialist from Celine Song. And then Benny Safdie is doing an A24 film with The Rock. I believe it's about the UFC, Michael, the Smashing Machine.
Yeah, I think so. And it's supposed to be filming soon. I know he was had that on his schedule right after he was done with WrestleMania. So,
all right. I want to spotlight Mother Mary, though. David Lowery of The Green Knight, Ain't Them Bodies, Saints, etc. follows the relationship of a musician and a fashion designer, starring Anne Hathaway, Michaela Cole of I May Destroy You and Wakanda Forever, Hunter Schafer, FKA Twigs of The Crow, and Jessica Brown Finley of Downton Abbey.
Yeah. Anne Hathaway is in like 75 movies this year. Like, I feel like every trailer I watched yesterday had her in it. And Mother Mary, A Mother's Instinct, The Idea of You, that Daisy Ridley Naiad movie I talked about. Actually in that. She's not, but it feels like she should be in that, so I'm including it.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Can't you see her having a scene in that movie just telling Daisy Ridley, you can't do this?
You're probably right. She's probably in that. And we'll find out at the end of this month or next month. Dyad, you're a jerk. Mother Mary, David Lowery, he seems to have been knocking on the Oscars door for the longest time. Maybe this one finally gets through. The Green Knight is kind of a sleeper favorite of a lot of people. It wasn't our sleeper favorite, even though we had things to say.
Did that get nominated for any kind of tech? Or am I misremembering?
I don't think so.
No?
All remember right. We did that with Swell? We did an episode.
I vividly do. Yeah.
It was an eventful episode. Anyway, shout out to Amanda. We always get A24 film acquisitions at the festivals, but it does seem like Sing Sing is their big one. We Live in Time might be their other big one, and A Different Man is playing the festival circuit, it seems. So that would be my guess as a 1-2-3 punch from A24.
Yeah, they have the market cornered right now on buzzy titles. Y2K, Love Lies Bleeding, Sing Sing, like you talked about, so... Another good year for A24 coming in. Move on to Lionsgate.
Yeah, already released Sunrise, Miller's Girl.
Did you see that?
No.
How could that movie not be decent? It's gotten terrible reviews.
I heard good things from from
the
BO, the BO Boys podcast. They liked it. Anyway, we had him on the show. I mean, yeah, I like those guys.
It's Jenna Ortega seducing one of the Hobbits, Martin Freeman, right?
Yep.
Her teacher. Yep. I don't understand how that movie couldn't be intriguing, at least.
It's coming on Netflix next month. We're probably all going to click on it, I guess, right? Anyway, Scrambled, Ordinary Angels, Imaginary, Arthur the King. Other than Imaginary, they did not do well financially on any of those. Imaginary, like these horror films worldwide, they always make four times their production budget. Just, they always do. Imaginary and Night Swim, I would not have thought to have been profitable. They're profitable. Don't underestimate horror.
I mean, I almost watched Night Swim the other night, but I got turned off by the awful reviews of it.
Yeah, I don't want to watch it. Otherwise, on the upcoming schedule for Lionsgate, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare from Guy Ritchie comes out this weekend. A couple beefy monsters in that movie. Boy Kills the World, another beefy monster, and Bill Skarsgård, the trailer we liked. Michael, did you realize The Strangers is a chapter one of three chapters that might be released this year? Did you know this?
I did. I did... I thought there was an update where, like, one of them definitely wasn't coming out this year. They might get two in this year, so I could be talking on my ass right now. But yes, I did know that they were planning on, like, doing either starting a new trilogy or something like that.
May 17th for The Strangers Chapter 1. We have a, what I heard is The Raid on a Train, a movie called Kill, July 4th. I think Matt Neglia called it that. He saw it at festivals. It's going to be a cool martial arts film. Borderlands from Yucky McYuckster coming out in August. I just...
They got to think that's going to make money.
I'm sure it will. Cate Blanchett, Jack Black, look like a good trailer. The Crow, which looked cool, Mr. Skarsgård there again in late August. That seems right. Never Let Go is going to be a haunted house horror Halle Berry movie. Alliteration. Okay.
Sure.
White Bird, it used to be subtitled A Wonder Story, which is like a prequel to Wonder, like the kid's grandmother, Julia Roberts' mother, I don't know, Helen Mirren, I believe, is playing. It's like a World War II flashback told story, come out in October. The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, coming out in November. Otherwise, like I said, they got... You know, Strangers chapters 2 and 3 on their undated list. And Freaky Tales, Pedro Pascal's movie that played at Sundance, which was polarizing at Sundance, is on their TBA list for Lionsgate.
I don't know. Do you see any anything that speaks like Oscar-ly?
They've been on the sales block for a while, and I feel like they want to make money. So okay. I think they're going to. I hope they are.
I do. And I agree.
I like Lionsgate. But that's Lionsgate. So no, I don't. If Freaky Tales is not coming out this year, it doesn't look like anything overtly Oscar-y. But who knows? Hopefully, cool ass movies get picked, and hopefully some of these are cool ass movies. IFC Shudder. They don't have a ton on their slate that I can see. I saw Stop Motion. I was not a fan. Okay. Late Night with the Devil. I was a huge fan. Otherwise, Humane. I should have wrote down the premise for Humane. But you kind of identified one of the undated films of Dandelion, Ghostlight, Turn Me On, but Hot Milk is what you identified from IFC Shudder as something that might be your sleeper?
Well, yeah, just because I was such a fan of She Said, and Rebecca Lankiewicz was one of the writers on She Said. She's directing Hot Milk with a strange illness, a mother and her daughter embark on a journey to the Spanish coast to find a cure, and along the way, the daughter discovers another reality far from her controlling mother. Emma Mackey, Fiona Shaw, and Vicky Krapes are the three headliners there. I don't know if it has Oscar legs, but it seems intriguing, and it's got a good collection of talent both behind and in front of the camera for me.
Absolutely. I would love to see Vicky Krieps or Emma Mackey do well. Yeah. Bleecker Street, another boutique studio there with some fun titles. ISS, I keep hearing that's good. I'm waiting for it to just show up for free on one of my streaming services.
It's got bad critic review scores. Yeah, both.
No. Really?
It kept me from hitting play on it. You know how when you're on VOD and it gives you like the two Rotten Tomato scores?
Yeah. I thought it did well. Tribeca, it got received well. Last Tribeca, Scott Yeager and company seemed to like it. Anyway. Yeah, ISS, I wanted 62-43.
Critics, 43 audience.
Middling. Out of Darkness, which is supposedly a caveman horror story that's disgusting, and I've almost clicked on it, but I don't want to watch it because it's going to be yucky. I'm afraid of it. But anyway, Bleecker Street also had One Life, the Anthony Hopkins movie. That looks charming. I may watch that at some point. But look, I still think we should do Mike and Squatch. I think Sasquatch Sunset is the first. Like, listen, Ungentlemanly Warfare, Abigail, and Sasquatch Sunset come out this weekend. What do you think I'm seeing tomorrow night?
How dare you say that Out of Darkness is too gross for you, but you're excited to just watch Jesse Eisenberg dressed as Cousin It fuck for 2 hours?
I'm going to go squatching, Michael. I'm going to go squatching, and I'm also a pervert, so I'm going to just have fun. Just leave me. Leave me be.
Can I live? Let me live my life. Can I live?
Anyway, on the upcoming Bleecker Street schedule, we have Ezra, which is supposedly about a comedian with Robert De Niro in it. Ezra is coming out the end of May. Treasure, The Fabulous Four, Slingshot. I'm sorry, I should have looked these up. I don't know what they're about. Otherwise, Hard Truths, which we know is the Mike Lee film, mm-hmm. coming out in October. And look, Mike Lee giveth and he taketh away. I have loved some Mike Lee watches. Yeah. I think I was a fan of Happy Go Lucky, and I was also a big fan of Secrets and Lies. I despised, I hated with the fury of a thousand suns, Mr. Turner.
Yeah.
And then I also just watched on HBO Max Topsy Turvy, and dear God, the hate in my heart for that film is strong.
I'm willing to say that Mike Lee, anything he does could be considered Oscar-y, but I don't know that I'm willing to watch them. for that very reason. It's just never been an auteur that's I've seen eye to eye with.
His period pieces are the ones I struggle with. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Hard Truth is about. But look, I mean, Lionsgate, IFC, Bleecker Street, I think we're going to have some fun with some of these potentially commercial slates here. We can move on to the no distribution list. I mean, it's basically the Cannes episode that we just recorded. Bird, Maria, Megalopolis, Parthenope, O Canada, The Apprentice, The Shroud, Emilia Perez. Like, all those movies are from big-name directors or big-name stars in them, and we could see them being Oscar-y at the end of the day. Go back and listen to that episode. Otherwise, we have Luca Guadagnino's Queer starring Daniel Craig. We have Saoirse Ronan starring in The Outrun that played at Sundance. Mm-hmm. And we have this other film, The Collaboration, which looked intriguing to me, Michael.
A look into the unique and rich friendship between two of the world's most interesting artists, pop art legend Andy Warhol and the king of neo-expressionism, Jean-Michel Basquiat.
So we have Basquiat being played by Jeremy Pope of The Inspection. And we have Warhol being played by Paul Bettany. And then Melissa Barrera and Daniel Brühl are also star in The Collaboration there. So, yeah, that seems like it. A possibility.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, sure, but look at the Anthony Hopkins movie we just talked about. I already can't remember the name of it. But Anthony Hopkins, One Life, yeah.
Or Freud's Last Session. Are you thinking?
No. I'm thinking of one. Well, either one, I guess. But I was thinking of One Life, where it's like, the premise is he was a guy who risked it all to save a bunch of Holocaust survivors, right? And the big payoff was that like he goes to a talk show and they're around him in the audience. That's given away in the trailer.
Yes, given away in the trailer.
That, as a premise, in and of itself, if I were to tell you Anthony Hopkins is playing a man who put his life on the line to save a bunch of Holocaust refugees and survivors, like, that sounds Oscar-y, and it wasn't even close.
Not even close. So no distribution yet is giving you red flags for The Collaboration.
I don't want to put it all in The Collaboration, but yes, but I think you could apply that to a lot of these movies right now.
We are trying to tab sleeper contenders.
Yeah.
So it is being tabbed here to forthwith. However, yeah, we're equally suspicious. Otherwise, and for the record, international feature predictions via Clayton Davis include Brief History of a Family out of China, Crossing out of Georgia, Emmanuel, like we've mentioned, out of France, Audrey Dewan there, Pedro Paramo, Rodrigo Prieto, cinematographer of Killers of the Flower Moon and Barbie last year, his directorial debut, Reynas of Peru, and otherwise, I do think, I do think we're going to see an international. I mean, I think it's playing Captain Obvious here. We're going to see an international film get nominated for Best Picture next year.
That has been the trend. That has certainly been the trend. And with something as wide open as this year seems to be, yeah, I would think it's got a better chance than normal.
All right. Well, our next episode of the YIP, the Year in Preview series, is going to be, I hope, with Andrew Morgan, where we're going to talk about this quote-unquote Netflix slate. But I did want to just mention it to you to be completionists for today.
Okay.
And I can't believe we're pulling in this episode.
Shocked we're under an hour right now. I got to knock on some wood.
Yeah. But look, I mean, we have a Netflix slate that was somewhat Oscar-y in years past and years past Yippers that we've done here in previous series. Spaceman, Adam Sandler, movie you liked. I like
Damsel.
Would love
to see that, yeah.
Millie Bobby Brown. Shirley was solid, but Regina King is not getting nominated for Shirley. I like The Beautiful Game, by the way, Bill Nye, about the homeless World Cup, which was a cool soccer movie there. Football movie. Okay. Scoop wasn't bad. Wasn't bad with Agent Scully there. Rebel Moon 2 is coming out soon. Maybe a VFX player. Unfrosted, Jerry Seinfeld's movie. Otherwise, Ultraman Rising, getting some animated feature buzz via Clayton Davis, etc. I'm looking at, and I think we're both looking at, The Piano Lesson,
yep.
Samuel Jackson, and Mr. John David Washington in that film. Directed by his brother, produced by his father, a Washington family endeavor for The Piano Lesson. His three daughters played very well at TIFF last year, starring Elizabeth Olsen, Natasha Lyonne, and Carrie Coon.
Yep, I remember
the
reception for it.
And then the other film I'm tabbing here from the Netflix slate is Joy, starring Thomasin McKenzie and Bill Nighy, about the first use of in vitro fertilization.
So oh, interesting.
Maybe. It sounds like a fun title there, or an important title, that
prevalent
matter.
Yeah.
Lee Daniels has a film coming out for Netflix, The Deliverance, supernatural horror. Now, that's not a genre that necessarily gets a lot of attention at the Oscars, but this is starring Andra Day, Glenn Close, and Omar Epps.
Wow.
So good cast there,
yeah.
Lee Daniels, who's been nominated, his films have been nominated for Oscars before. Uprising, a South Korean war film that was on Eric Weber's big list there at awardsace.com that we've cited quite a bit throughout this series in the past and present with David. Co-written by Park Chan-wook.
Huh.
He couldn't stick with it because he did The Sympathizer for HBO, but this is supposed to be a big epic about the Japanese invasions of Korea.
Huh.
Otherwise, Netflix has Spellbound, a Skydance animation starring the voices of Rachel Ziegler, Nicole Kidman, Javier Bardem, and they have an untitled Wallace and Gromit film that the Academy seems to nominate every other film from this production company, even if it's a Farmageddon sheep movie, right? So, like, Netflix does have a slate. I have a huge list that I want to ask Andrew about of potential sleepers there, but do you like what you see from this Netflix slate? What do you think?
I think The Piano Lesson is the obvious one, and you're right. I remember the reception of his three daughters, and we've had our eye on that for a while. Uprising is not one I knew about, but that sounds meaty.
Okay.
South Korean war film about the Japanese invasion of Korea, yeah.
All Quiet on the Western Front, Society of the Snow, they've been playing their international features very well.
Yeah, right. But obviously, I mean, if Glenn Close is in a horror movie, I have to see it, but that's for the Mike and Oscars, not necessarily the Oscars.
I hope it's both.
That'd be great. Can you imagine? She finally wins one.
Yeah.
For a supernatural horror
for
movie.
For a horror movie. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, New Academy. You're new.
She just hands it back to the presenter. I don't want this one.
Oh, come on. No, we would be hyped. That would
be
a good moment.
Of course we would.
Mike
of course
Oscar.
We would. Yeah. She drops out of Sunset Boulevard right then and there.
Do it. That's what I'm rooting for. But hey, Glenn Double Ends played some cool ass horror movies. Remember that zombie movie where she was like in charge? What was that with the kid zombie?
The kid zombie.
It was cool. It was cool. We liked it, didn't we?
Well, what are you talking? I don't remember it.
I don't know. It was a kid zombie movie starring Glenn Close. It was a British film. I have to look it up now.
Kid zombie movie. Yeah, look that up. I'll take
Glenn
us to
Close.
The outro.
The kid
here.
Was a zombie. I'm looking it up. Go ahead.
Are you sure you're not confusing her for Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
Because didn't he have one where his daughter was turning into a cannibal or something? Anyway, guys... As always, I confuse those two all the time, personally. As always, what matters most to us, we want to hear from you. Do you hear a potential Oscar sleeper that maybe we didn't give enough spotlight to in this episode? Or what do you think of our takes of what we think might be able to be Oscars players later on down the line this year? As well, as always, we can want to hear from you about any thoughts, comments, questions, or concerns you have about anything we do here in the MMO Empire. As always, you can leave us those on our social medias. We are Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook and Instagram at MM and Oscar on Twitter, MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com, and on Reddit. We are available wherever you do hear podcasts, and if you're listening to us on either the Apple Podcasts or Spotify app, if you appreciate what we do here, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a 5-star review, those help us out immensely. Thank you to everyone who has done so thus far. Do you have the name of it, Michael?
2016's The Girl with All the Gifts, starring Glenn Close. Decent movie. And yeah. Patty Considine. And we had a Gemma Arterton.
All right.
It was a Gemma Arterton. Yeah. Arterton.
There you go.
Anyway, she's beautiful.
Basinger.
And it was a cool zombie movie in 2016. And it was nominated for a BAFTA. It wasn't just some schmo movie. It was a good movie.
There you go. All right. Good job by you.
The words
for
of wisdom
that.
Today is go rewatch The Girl with All the Gifts and just realize the tour de force she gives Glenn Close. In every performance, and let's nominate her and give her an Oscar for a horror movie. Fine by me, man. Lee Daniels movie. Let's do it.
I'm all in for it. Those are your words of wisdom. Tell the good people what's coming next, Michael.
So I'm going to record something with Andrew Morgan. I'm going to ask him about Netflix. I think I'm just going to ask him, Netflix, WTF, Andrew. What are they doing? I don't
know.
Good question. I want to talk to him about it. I may talk to his co-host there at Recent Activity as well. We're trying to book it, but we're tentatively booked for Saturday morning. I'll get that episode out to you guys. Mike, you are going away for the weekend, and good, because you need a little vacation, I think.
But it doesn't. Every time I try to go away, something horrible happens. So I've gotten like
That's
a phobia
true.
About it.
That's
looking,
true.
Looking forward yeah, to getting you're... COVID too, whatever that'll be.
Oh, so where? But you're going. You're going to be a degenerate, I assume, somewhere.
No. I like that. That's the assumption. No, actually,
they
not.
Take
I mean,
wagers.
I probably will place a wager at some point, but that's not the point of the trip. No.
Okay. Good. All right, well, have fun. You need it. You're a miserable, miserable bastard. You need to have some fun in your life, so go do it. Good.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but thank you. I appreciate the idea. Guys, as always, when reality sucks, you can be a miserable bastard with us. We are Mike, and Oscar trying to make award season year-round without the stuff in us. We will see you all very soon.
See ya.